The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came now in the power of the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the customary laws in regard to him, he took him in his arms and he blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what he said about the child, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and a sign that will be rejected. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at this time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes when you want to find your way or define what's happening around you or understand your journey, you have to go back to the beginning. There's a way in which we wander in the journey of life and we are led by distractions. And in order to catch the meaning of discipleship or the meaning of being followers of Jesus Christ, we probably have to go back to the beginning and find out how we got here and what does it mean to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what we come to celebrate. In the mystery of the incarnation, God becoming human, it's beyond reason and beyond logic. It's a miracle. It's an extraordinary statement of conversion for the whole world, that the infinite God would become human like us, take on our flesh, take on the journey of our lives. It's so beyond us, we have to pause and think about that. It just doesn't unravel too easily in a passing thought. You have to reflect on this, God becoming human among us. And who is this God that becomes human among us? A powerful God, a punishing God, a God who destroys, a God who is imperial, a God who is all-powerful in a worldly sense? No. A servant God. The servant God. The one who comes to serve, not to be served. The one who heals those who did not merit it, forgives those who are not pardoned by the world. The infinite love of God. It's an extraordinary miracle. It's hard to grasp. The infinite love of God. When we think about the infinite love of God, it's beyond our human experience. It's beyond our human calculations, the infinite love of God. So let me look at this. What does this mean that God came among us? And he assured us of infinite love. You never know the value of love until it is tested, until there's failure, until you have disappointment, until you have alienation. Only then do you find out if this love which we speak about is real, or is it just a word that we say, or a manner in which we express ourselves. How deep is it? How conditional is it? How reliable is it? How enduring is it? Will it last? What does it mean when you say to somebody, I love you? Does it mean you're secure? Or does it mean you're okay for now? You know, I hear people saying, I'm in love with you, but I don't love you. Or I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I don't know what that means. I mean, we're all mixed up about love anyway. I mean, I love my dog. I love this dog. I have a dog. I love my horse. I love my country. I love my wife. What does it mean? I mean, is it the same thing, or what does love mean here? And then we grasp the extraordinary presence of a God of infinite love. A God who is enduring, a God who is ever present, a God who understands all things. We must begin with the power of Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Julianne Stans, in her wonderful book, Start With Jesus, says, the arrow aimed at the head does not penetrate the heart. Don't begin with the catechism. Don't begin with the Ten Commandments. Begin with the person of Jesus Christ. Where in our lives is the person of Jesus Christ? And what does it mean when we say that Jesus Christ came to be among us, to assure us of infinite love? So let me look at the Gospels and see what this might mean to us. There's a Greek word, splangzitsomai, which means love or compassion. But it's not just ordinary love or compassion. It appears 12 times in the Synoptic Gospels. And Jesus sees the multitude, and they're lost, and they're searching, and they're hungry, and they're abandoned. Splangzitsomai, he feels a deep, deep sorrow. He is moved deep, deep inside of himself. It's not something superficial. Splankna in Greek means your innards. So it's something that really affects you very, very deeply. That's splangzitsomai. Let me give you one example. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we have the very familiar story of the prodigal son. We all remember the prodigal son, the reckless young man who went off and squandered his inheritance, abandoned his family, embarrassed his father, and he's gone. And the father's waiting for him. And when he returns, he doesn't return because he's sorry. He returns because there's nowhere else to go. He comes back to his father. And on his way back, by the way, he's rehearsing. I don't know if you've ever done this. I used to do this when I was young, going to confession. I'd rehearse exactly what I was going to say, hoping that the priest wouldn't take it too seriously. But he always took it seriously, no matter which way I put it. So he was rehearsing his confession. Maybe I'll tell him I'm really, really sorry. Maybe I made a mistake, whatever it is. And it says in the parable that the old man saw him when he was far off, and he was deeply moved. explains it to my deep, deep emotion. He ran out to meet him. He kissed him. He embraced him. Did he ask for an apology? No. Did he ask if he was sorry? He didn't ask. Did he put him on probation? No. Did he ask to pay back the money he owed? No. It's that deep, extraordinary sense of acceptance. He embraced him, he blessed him. Not only did he forgive him, he restored him. He made him whole. He said, put shoes on his feet. Slaves didn't have shoes. He's no longer a slave. Put a robe on him, restore his sonship. Put a ring on his finger, the Visa card. Now he can sign for his father. He restores his sonship. Splenzitsamaya. So he just heals him. He belongs to him. Tell me, maybe you've had an experience in the human way of splenzitsamaya. When you were in crisis, who cried with you? Think about it. Who was it that hugged you and said, I feel your pain? Who was it that showed up when you were lonely and said, I was thinking about you? Who was it that welcomed you when you embarrassed your family, you disappointed people? Who was it that said, come home, you are loved? We may have had a human experience in a very human way of Spangzitsamai. Or we may have had the privilege of offering this kind of healing, welcoming, spoken about in the Gospels. Now, the Father, he could have been angry, embittered by his son, embarrassed by his son, but he wasn't, because Jesus says he was the image of God. The image of God who accepts everybody without condition. Nobody is shut out. There is nobody that doesn't belong to Splangzitsamai. You were reckless. You were improvident. You embarrassed your family. You broke our trust. And yet, God embraces you. It's an extraordinary statement. Unless we grasp that, we don't understand discipleship. We don't understand following Jesus Christ. What it means to be uplifted, enlightened. What does it mean to claim a new life following Jesus Christ? It's not something passing. It's something deep inside of us. It's the manner in which we live. It's the manner in which we think, and it's the manner in which we act toward others. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have experienced the splenzitsamai, the embrace of God's love, the healing forgiveness of God in all my foolishness and the ridiculous and selfishness and failures of my life. I turn to the Lord. And the Lord embraces me and welcomes me without condition. So whoever you are out there listening to the proclamation of God's word, wherever you find yourself, in whatever condition your life is, remember that Jesus enlarges the boundaries so much, there are no boundaries. The boundaries are gone. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. The arrow aimed at the head will tell you about the catechism and the commandments and all the teachings of the church. That's not why we're here. We're not here to learn the teachings of the church and the catechism.
We're here to connect with the person of Jesus Christ. If we fail to do that, we're in some kind of a formal relationship. It's a kind of a legalistic, proper thing to do. I mean, go to church. Oh, but to grasp the incredible revelation of God's infinite love is to be reborn. It's a whole new life. I see things in a new way. I understand failure. I understand sin. I understand forgiveness. I understand how to treat other people, because that's the way Jesus Christ treated me. Now, if I don't connect with that Jesus Christ, the servant God, the one who forgives those who don't deserve forgiveness, who heals those who haven't merited this. So many times in our church, I'm reading the prayers of Mass, say, I may merit eternal life. I can't merit eternal life. I don't need to merit eternal life. Eternal life is a gift given to me because God loves me infinitely in Jesus Christ. Now, that's the message. And now, with all the Christmas decorations and the lights and the festivities and the gifts and all the food and all that, it's very easy to miss the miracle which draws us together and sharing in our faith, we meet the person of Jesus Christ. That's it. If you catch it, you're reborn. If you miss it, you missed something that is so fundamental and so critical that the rest is the arrow aimed at the head. Amen.